This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Saturday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March the 19th, episode 1385.
And I'm Mary Kitzmiller coming to you live from the Kentucky Horse Park with day two of our 3 days of coverage of Road to the Horse. This episode is brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Founded by Tootie Bland and her late husband, Steven, Road to the Horse has grown beyond what they or anyone else involved in its humble beginnings could have ever dreamed. This unique competition brings together three of the world's top trainers and clinicians. For over 2 days, they will gentle a horse in adjacent round pens, while thousands of fans relish every moment. Combining education and entertainment, Road to the Horse is truly a one-of-a-kind event.
Come back for more on this road to the horse.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on day two here at the Kentucky Horse Park at the All-Tech Arena. Mary, before we get started, who picked the horse out of the Remuda who is now leading the competition? Who would that be? Just remind everybody who picked that horse.
That would be you.
That'd be me.
Picked the winning horse.
And who picked the horse that is now in last place in the competition? Just let everybody know who that was.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not a good horse. But yes,
that'd be Mary.
He was my pick.
But we did actually pick both horses, two of the three horses that were in the competition.
That's got to count for something.
Yeah,
it means we got good taste.
Yeah, we both have good taste.
Mine was picked by chance, I have to say, but he's a good horse. He's going to come through.
Well, we're going to talk more about what happened yesterday and give you a wrap up. And then we're going to talk about what's coming up today. We have a bunch of guests lined up for you. So we have an exciting day ahead. We'll hear from the three competitors here in a minute as well. We managed to get some time with them last night after the competition. But first, I have to introduce our good friend, Tammy Serrance. Hi, Tammy.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Come in a little closer. There you go. Like the mic, Tammy. So now, Tammy, what's your official title here at Road to the Horse now?
Gosh, I have a lot of time. My official title is Director of Operations.
Whoa, you're moving up in the world. Tammy was running.
I'm referred to as Doe. Or you could say Do, because I do everything.
You do. You were running around like a nut yesterday.
Yeah, so I got the blisters to prove it.
You were. You were a very, very busy girl. It was a fun day yesterday. It is so cool. You know, I was here during the WAG in 2010. That's this stadium was built for with all 8,000 seats. And there's not too often that this stadium is full now. One of the very few events every year that fills this stadium is Road to the Horse. It is so cool for me to have seen it in the very beginning, its first day of operation, and then to see it yesterday with the stands full.
Yeah, we're just thrilled. This event, it's a different deal, Glenn. It's got its own following. Tootie and I call it its own animal. You know, it's a living, breathing, changing. It's its own deal. It really is.
And the fans are rabid. I mean, I don't know another
the
word for it.
Rabid.
You
the
have
clinicians
a lot of
are rabid.
Kind of leave here. You're not going to get a health.
I think the horses are the only sane creatures.
So it was fun yesterday. It was a good day. We started out really the day. There were some demonstrations and things like that in the opening ceremonies. But then they got to pick the horses out of the Remuda. They brought them in and ran them around a little bit, and they each of the clinicians, who I'll remind you who they are. We have Nick Dowers, who's a rookie. It's his first time here. We have Richard Winters, who is a past one-time winner of Road to the Horse, and five times announcer or horseman's host, they call it. And then Clinton Anderson, who's from Down Under Horsemanship, of course, who is a two-time Road to the Horse champion. And who went first? Was it Richard or Nick to pick?
Nick,
yeah. And he picked, actually, Nick picked a horse named, or number seven, named Seven Attraction, ironically enough.
I love that horse. I love that horse. I actually was lucky enough to be able to go out and take photographs of that horse.
Oh, at the farm. You went out to the farm.
Yes, I actually went out to take all the photographs. But Glenn, everyone knows I'm a sucker for sorrel horses, especially if you're a sorrel horse and you have four white socks.
And a big glazed face.
I mean, that is instant cookie eater in my barn. So, I mean, that was just my pick from the start. I was worried, like, sometimes those horses, in talking with Nick, when they're that friendly and they're that quiet, when you do ask them to start moving out later on in the competition, they can get sticky because they don't want to go and they are lazy. So that's something that we're going to run into maybe today that we'll watch for with Seven Attraction. But, you know, Nick's real happy with him.
He should be, and we'll talk about
that.
I
have to tell you, I have someone who's tried to buy that horse off Nick last night at the VIP party.
Oh, really?
I was there, yeah, and there's apparently a very long line for that horse.
Oh, wow.
I was going to ask if he's spoken for already, because these things go fast.
I have no chance. Yeah.
Oh, no.
We're going to talk more about why that horse was a crowd favorite yesterday, too, because personalities come out. But then Richard went up there. He picked the one I had picked out of the Remuda.
Horse.
Yeah, Boone's Pay was the name of that horse. Mm-hmm. And I picked him because he looked a little Mustangy to me. He kind of had a little wild Mustangy thing going. And he has a smaller head, actually. He was kind of
He was a good size for Richard.
Yeah, actually he was.
I was actually surprised at how quiet that horse and, you know, gentle it ended up being.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, because in the pen, that one was kind of, you know, getting real grumpy and pinning its ears. And you know, it could also be a testament
to Richard.
Anyone
can get along with Richard.
Exactly.
Really, if you can't get along with Richard, I mean, Richard is the most kindest, nicest guy ever.
He is. His whole family is, I think.
My
yeah,
gosh.
We had a couple of them on the show yesterday, and we'll have his wife on here shortly. So
yes, phenomenal family.
And then Clinton Anderson did something different. He said, "I'm not going to pick a horse. I can train any horse." And he had all the numbers put in a hat. And he drew one out, and he got Mary's horse.
He got my pick. Yes,
Four Roan Papa.
Did you put a hat full of the number nines in there, Mary?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. No, that was a cool horse. You know, just a big, pretty, you know, kind of like a rose gray color.
Yeah, that had a lot of pretty grays.
Yeah, everybody was arguing whether that was a roan or a rose gray. I think it was a rose gray roan.
That's kind of like the color of the dress question.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
We just settled on rose gray roan. Yeah,
okay.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah. Depends on your glasses. But that was a nice horse. He was a little harder to get his hands on him. So
it'll
be interesting to see how he does today once he jumps on him.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Nick, we'll start with Nick, the rookie here. He just wowed the crowd yesterday because he had the halter on literally within 10 seconds of going in.
You know what I thought was funny on the concourse? Like when we got started, Nick's booth, Nick is very well known in the Rank Cowhorse Association, but his booth was kind of quiet, you know, because I walk past all the time on the concourse. After the round, it was lined up. Nick was an instant crowd favorite. I'm talking from a girl's standpoint. You can't help but think that guy, he's really
well, he's right out of central casting in the Western movie business. I mean, he has the
you
look.
You can't help but like Nick Gowers.
He has the look.
And you know what? Actually, his girls, his little girls, his daughter and his cousin are both going to sing the national anthem today.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, Tootie's asked them if they would come and sing. I don't know how old they are. And everyone knows I'm not good with kids. My guess would be like 5 or 6, maybe.
Between 8 months and 12.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like.
They may be attending school. But they are going to sing the national anthem. So I'm actually really excited about that. That's going to be really cute.
Very
so Nick
cool.
Dow's kids are doing the opening today with Dan James.
Well, we've actually gotten to spend more time with Nick and his mom and dad were here yesterday and on the air with us, and they were so proud. You know, it's
Who
just very
would
cute.
It be? Yeah, you know, he's a great guy. I've done a lot of interviews with him before the event. He's very confident. He's very proud of the journey that he's been on to get here.
Well, he did totally different. Let's talk about yesterday. He had a halter on within 10 seconds.
That's got to be a record.
Yeah.
He had a halter on.
He walked in and put the halter on.
Tarp in his hand. He halted the horse, then he grabbed a tarp and just went to work, and I think we were still under a minute.
I
think they sat behind the pens, and he's like, hey, dude, this is the deal. It's a colt signing competition. This is what we're going to do. Maybe they just talked about it before they came out.
He had the stuff in the ring immediately, all the noodles and everything. He just brought it in right away.
Yeah.
He had the bit in the horse's mouth in 10 minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that at home.
No. And then he was the first to saddle, and I think where he was a crowd favorite at that point, but I don't think the crowd, and I was watching the crowd when he did this. A lot of these guys, when they first start out, will rope a foot.
Yeah.
And I don't think the crowd went for that a lot. And I don't know that the judges might have knocked him on that. Because he did, at that point, he had that horse, in his hand. And I don't really think he needed to.
Yep.
So, and I'm not a horse trainer. I just know what I see. And you said a lot of people do it. But.
Yeah. You know, it's part of a lot of folks' program. And I actually did it with my 2 6's colts. It's a really great way to get started, you know, getting them used to feeling restraint in hobbles. It's great for safety. You know, if your horse gets caught up in a fence, they know how to respond to pressure. It's great to get to a horse's mind if you can lead them by different body parts like their feet or their tail. But as far as doing it in a competition, and again, when it's done right, and I know Nick has just probably
millions
of hours of experiments. You should be able to do it without gloves on your hands. It's not going to give you rope burn. It won't hurt the horse in any way. It won't take any hide off of them. But I did think it was an interesting choice in the context of this competition, because if you do get in a bind, you have to see it through. And that's a lot of time that could go out the window but it did end up really well. I mean, he did end up doing a good job with it. But
he didn't
think
stick
that
with
was,
it long either.
He kind of just got in there and left it alone.
His horse won the personality award yesterday. Oh, my God. He brought one of those great big beach, the big exercise balls out.
I saw that.
That's going to be on the B-roll for the next 10 years here at Road to the Horse. When he left the horse, they have to leave the ring for a certain amount of time and give the horse a break. The horse was playing with the ball, was kicking it, rubbing all over it, pushing it along.
If that's a mystery obstacle, he's won.
Yeah. I think
I don't
Tootie
know what the mystery
that,
obstacles are, but
I think Tootie looked at that yesterday and said, "Take the ball out."
Yeah.
Well, that reminded me of like Chris Cox's little soil colt he had
history.
Last year. Yeah, and that colt was kind of the same thing, you know, just charge right into something new, and he pushed the little Wile E. Coyote rocket, and it was. You could tell it was the colt just really wanting to do it, and Chris just kind of allowing him to do it. So I think this guy's going to be the same.
Yeah, I think Nick's horse won the personality award yesterday.
Yeah,
for sure.
He won it from the start. The minute he ran into the pens at the sixes when Tootie and Dr. Blodgett and I saw him, I mean, we were trying to take his photo, and we had moved those colts and pushed them up and down the fence so we can get some trotting photos of them. He just stood there staring at us, you know. We couldn't hardly get him to move out.
Well, let's hear what Nick had to say after last night.
Just finished with round one, and we're talking with Nick Dowers. Nick, how do you feel?
I feel good. I like where we ended. It's not as far along as I would ultimately want to be, but I feel like I laid the foundation for the next few days, and that's all that's important is what happens there on that finals day.
I got to tell you, you were the most fun to watch today. You had the halter on right away. You were a crowd favorite today just because of your technique, bringing everything in right at the beginning. Were you afraid of that, the overload at all?
No, because for these horses, they have no normal. So everything out there, the round pin, everything is new. And so I just wanted him to think that thing was just part of his new normal. And instead of bringing things one at a time, giving one thing to focus on, I just wanted to give him, you know, that was just there. It wasn't there to get him, it was just there.
How did the colt line up with how you thought he might be? Is he going along like what you thought?
He's a little quieter than I thought he would be. I thought he was going to have a little bit more life, a little bit more forward. He got a little confused there. He was hooking on real strong to my pin wrangler. And you can't blame him for that. That was just effort. So, once we get that sorted out, we'll be on our way.
You put a beach ball in there, or an exercise ball. He absolutely loved. I've never seen a horse do that before. He was playing with it, kicking it. He was pawing at it. He just loved that ball.
Yeah, like I said, that was just part of his environment. You know, I didn't try to get him used to it. I let his curiosity get him used to it.
Well, he did. Yeah. It was cute. That's going to be on the B-roll for Road to the Horse for the now until forever. It'll be on the video.
It'll be on every jumbo trot of every Road to the Horse for the next 20 years.
Yep.
Awesome.
Well, very good. Good job. First day.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
All right.
There was Nick. Now let's go to Richard Winters. You know, one of the things, he pretty much used the long line for the first half hour. Really didn't have anything in the ring with him. And he was the first in the saddle. He just had the tarp in the ring, but he was so patient and so methodical with that horse. And I was just impressed. It just looked smooth.
Yeah, that whole round was just, and in my opinion too, I think he came out on top overall. Just, you know, he just had a really good round with that colt. You know, again, in the pin, the colt looked a little grumpy. I wasn't sure how it was going to be, but everything just went really nice and just well executed. I thought he did a great job.
And we should tell everybody that he is leading the way after day one. This event is judged. And the judges put Richard on top with Nick in second and Clinton in third. And we'll talk about Clinton a little bit later on. Tammy, before I know you have to run, what were your thoughts of Richard and his day yesterday?
I loved Richard. Not only did he do a stellar job.
Are you saying
job,
that because his wife's standing right behind you?
No. Oh, okay. No, I'm saying that because he was color coordinated, Glenn. The guy had a pink shirt.
I got to know how he ended up in pink, by the way.
I asked him that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And
did they get to pick their colors or were they assigned?
They're assigned colors.
Oh, so Tootie said Richard looks pink?
I'll tell you how it happened.
And it was like pink.
It was electric pink.
Man, it was pink. I was told Cinch lets us know what colors they have available and the quantities we need them for our crew and competitors. So that's how we get the colors. And then we have the round pins made to match the shirts that Cinch gives us. So that's how we come up with the colors. And then 2D assigns them the colors. So, yeah.
He's all man, though, I got to tell you. He wore that pink well.
He had a pink shirt, so he said, hell, I might as well go with the pink halter, you know. So I'm not sure. I don't know if there's more story to it, but I know the person
standing behind
me knows. And the
bright pink gate and the whole thing. I mean, it was just something else.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was just so methodical.
You know,
I was
impressed.
Yeah, I see why the judges put him number one after day one.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And his horse was very cooperative.
Yeah, and like Mary, I felt when he got started that he was going to have a little more difficult time with that horse, but like we said earlier, you can't get along with Richard. You can't get along.
There's something wrong with you.
Well, thank you, Tammy. We appreciate
you're
stopping
welcome.
By. I know you have lots to do. We appreciate this.
There'll be more drill team today. You might see a dinosaur in Christmas lights.
We had him on yesterday.
Yes, yeah, we will see some
fun.
Great horsemanship as well.
We got some clinics coming up today. And then, of course, round two and the round pens this
round
afternoon.
And sign day today. Lots of clinician signs.
We saw them already showing up.
Yep, live web and the webcast.
And tomorrow, for the first time, we'll remind everybody at 11 a.m., we're going to be here for all 4 hours of the final competition.
Yes. Yep.
The obstacle course and doing play-by-play. It's the way you can get free play-by-play coverage here, and
absolutely.
We want you to join us.
And if you need any photos, go to Facebook. We are bombing it.
Yes, you are. There's lots of great photos over on Road to the Horses Facebook page.
Absolutely.
And, of course, there is a video feed available. Tell them about that quick.
Yes, live webcast available, and it's being replayed in the evening. You can catch that at Bonko TV, BONKOTV.com. You can either get day by day or buy a full ticket. So more details on roadtothehorse.com or their website. Got any questions? You can always ask on Road to the Horse Facebook as well.
Very good. Thank you, Tammy.
Thanks, guys. You're doing a great job.
Our own Tammy
Sarant.
Well, we're going to take a break for our title sponsor, horselovers.com. And then we're coming back with Cheryl Winters, who has been standing here listening to us talk about her husband in pink. We're going to find out more about that coming up.
Time for some Road to the Horse trivia.
Which competitor's biggest fears is getting bucked off his horse in front of his peers?
Be sure to visit horselovers.com all spring long for everything you need to get ready to ride this spring. Horselovers.com's got show tack, working tack, training aids, and the latest in safety gear and show apparel, whether you ride English or Western. Use code HRN at checkout and you can receive 10% off your order. That's right. Use coupon code HRN at checkout and get 10% off your entire order. This coupon code expires April 30th, so get on over to horselovers.com today and use coupon code HRN at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Horselovers.com.
The answer to which competitor's biggest fear is getting bucked off his horse in front of his peers? Nick Dowers. Well, welcome back to Road to the Horse. We're so happy that you're joining us this morning. Nothing going on here yet. They have a clinic that's going to be starting here shortly. One of the clinicians is going to be out there. But we are joined right now by Cheryl Winters, who is Richard Winters' wife. Hi, Cheryl.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. We're so glad that you're here to join us. What'd you think of watching your husband out there on day one? Now, you've watched him do this a few times before. So
I have watched him, and he stays true to his principles. And there's times when it works really well. There's times that I can feel really nervous. But
this wasn't one of those.
There were a couple times that I felt a little nervous. He was wanting that horse to go back, and the horse was not wanting to cooperate. So when I finally saw that step that he was looking for, I was able to breathe again.
So you're the nervous wife sitting there all anxious?
I am the nervous wife and nervous mother.
Yeah, because we had Sarah on here yesterday talking about her adventures, and she is the pen wrangler. So you got the whole family down there.
We do, and we say that Sarah has ice running through her veins.
She does. You know, we're asking her about her pen wrangling duties, and she's like, I just hand up stuff.
Yes.
Yes. Very cool cucumber. Well, when she competed, you could see that as well. She just went through the motions and was real confident and did just a really wonderful job. And I think yesterday, Richard's colt looked like he was going to buck around just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And I was very grateful that it wasn't a replay of the previous competition that he was in when the horse actually bucked three times around that round pin without stopping. Oh. So this was lovely.
He rides a buck very well, by the way.
I was proud of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very good.
You could tell that's a man that's been on a bucking horse before.
Exactly.
He wasn't too nervous, and he really didn't. He had like two baby bucks, and that was it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Colt kind of thought, oh, I might try something, and started to go, and then just calmed down. And it was really cool. They had the new rule this year. They're allowed the pen wrangle in for 10 minutes. They can't touch the horse, but they could help move the clinicians around, which I thought that was a good addition.
It was. And in the past, that's always been a sticky situation for Richard because he wants, and they all want their horses to move out. But for him to have that confidence, knowing that his daughter, who has worked with him for years, was going to be in there with him helping that horse to move out, was a comfort for him. And they worked together beautifully.
I think that's, you know, one of the reasons we saw just all the clinicians, it just went so smooth yesterday, just having that little bit of extra incentive to get those colts moving out, because that might be the number one challenge of these colts in this competition is just to, you know, you can get on them pretty easy. It doesn't take long to get them quiet, but once you get on to get them moving, because that's a big safety factor for sure.
It's huge. Yes.
Now, as a wife, do you watch the other competitors or are you glued on Richard?
No, I watch the other competitors. So I'm wanting Richard to be one step ahead of everyone else. And as I observe, I can kind of assess whether he's on target or not. And so yesterday, I felt that he was on target.
Nick was giving him a run for his money, though. It's really close in the standings. Yeah.
Nick did a lovely job, and that colt is going to do big things in this contest.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yes.
You know, things change day two, and then things change a lot day three in many cases. The ones that are far behind day one, usually make the turn.
That's right. Yeah. And right now Richard's in first, but it's not like you can rest easy.
Oh, he's not by first by much. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's real close.
It's nice.
I think Guy McLean 1 year came back to win 100 points behind. He was 100 points behind. I think, I don't know if it was before the final round or on the first day. And so, yeah, it's still anybody's game. You got to keep on your toes.
A listener has asked, what do they judge on? Well, pretty much, I mean, if we're going to use one word, it's horsemanship. I mean, they have a whole criteria of things that they look at, but it all revolves around horsemanship. Yeah.
And Richard's going to stay true to those principles. I wish he would veer off a little bit, but he's not going to.
No, he won't. You know, but he always does what's best for the horse. And that's, ultimately, that's why we're all here, right?
That's right. So. And he's going to do the best for his horse.
Well, we thank you for stopping by. Good luck today. I know he has a clinic coming up shortly, so I know you want to watch that.
That's
thank
right.
you.
Thank
we appreciate you being here. Maybe we'll wrangle you tomorrow for a little bit. We're doing live play-by-play through the whole thing.
Awesome.
So maybe we'll wrangle you tomorrow. You can help us do a little bit of it.
You give me a call.
I'll be here. All right. Thanks,
Cheryl. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Oops. That's okay. Happens all the time. Cheryl taking down the mic with her. You can leave the mic, Cheryl. Cheryl's making a grand exit here. And then let's hear a little bit about what Richard Winters had to say last night after the competition. We got to catch up with him.
Okay, we're talking with Richard Winters after round one. Richard, how do you feel about today's round?
Well, I'm happy with my colt. He looked like
you should
one,
be.
He looked like one that kind of wanted to be with you and wanted to be gentle. But, you know, it's always a trade-off because with that gentleness, he's a little sticky and a little bit pushy into my space. I felt like it got a little better as the round went on. I just need to make sure I save enough horse to get through all three rounds because he got him to lope off, but not as free as I would like. So getting him outside the round bend, I think, is going to make a big difference. The judges evidently appreciated something within my style, so I'm happy about that. But anybody that's been around Road to the Horse know that this thing can turn upside down two or three more times.
I really like the fact that you were in a halter and didn't have a bid on today. Will you go that route the whole weekend, or are you going to judge as the weekend goes? You've been known for doing that before.
Well, that's right. The other two times I competed, I rode them just a halter and lead rope. It's really not my style to put a bid in them that soon. I've seen some guys do it and get along well with it.
Yeah, Nick did it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then I've seen some guys have a little tough time because there's so much confusion in that colt's mind to pull on their mouth like that. So probably for me, in my personal style, I probably will not put a bit in his mouth.
You have one here.
I've got one somewhere. I've got one. I got a lot of them.
Very good. Well, good job. Congratulations on being number one after day one.
Well, thank you very much. It's been an exciting round, and we'll look forward to tomorrow.
Well, that was Richard Winters after his day yesterday. We caught up to them. And now we have one more to talk about, and that's Clinton Anderson, who took a different approach yesterday, and I'm not sure it worked out the way he had hoped.
Yeah, it was a very unconventional approach. You know, I've watched him probably almost every other year he's been, and he's never been one to really want to step out of the round pen and take the breaks. He wants to be in there with the horse and interact with the horse as much as possible. So this year, and of course they have a number of required breaks that they have to do. I believe you have to take a 10-minute break within your first hour, and you have to be out of the round pen. You can't be interacting with the horse, and then I think you take another few minutes in the last half hour. And so,
and they do an hour and a half each day in training, Friday and Saturday, and then an hour on Sunday.
So
morning.
I think, you know, total you have 15 minutes.
And they did that to give the horses a mental break and a physical
break.
Yeah,
yeah, and you know, you can bring water to them if you want, and they can, you know, take a drink. And so, you know, yesterday we talked about how Richard, Nick stepped in, went right to work. Nick had a halter on his horse, and then I was looking at the round pen and Clinton's not in there. I'm like, what's wrong? Is there something wrong with the horse? And he explained it. And he wanted to kind of use his breakup right off the bat. So when he went in there, he could have the whole session to work with his horse. And in his words, I believe he wanted, you know, when the horse needed a break from training, he would spend that time working on some desensitizing. He wanted the horse to just constantly be learning from him, even if he was resting. So, yeah, it was definitely an interesting choice.
Well, and I don't know how that worked out, because it ended up that his horse ended up playing very hard to get, and it was took him a long time, maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes, till he actually got the rope on the horse. Now, one of the things Clinton has to work on, I think he'll admit this after yesterday, is his roping skills. He actually wanted to rope the horse, and he's not so good with the lasso.
No, and I can't say anything because I'm not so good.
I'm not either.
I could definitely feel for him when he was out there. I know his program well enough to know that he usually, even if the horse is gentle enough to get caught, he usually doesn't go right in there and catch him. He works them at liberty in the round pen to get their feet moving, teach them to face up so they're easier to catch the next day. So that was right on par with what he does. He did get the horse to face up and started working his rope. I don't know how many, he missed a couple of times. So it was,
You're being generous.
Yeah, I'm being generous. missed a few times. But, yeah, we were on pins and needles there.
And we're not the only one picking on him about it. The announcers were picking on him about it yesterday.
He was having a lot of fun with it, too. Yeah.
I'm sorry. When you're a cowboy.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Now, Aussies can't rope.
Oh, that's it?
They have the whip. That's right. They only have the whip.
That's probably an unfair stereotype. Yeah. But yeah, they from my understanding, they work the stock more with the whip. So that's why most of these...
Not hitting the horse with it. But,
no, like moving them around. Yeah, yeah. And so they don't... I mean, I'm sure there are Australians that can rope, but they don't work the rope as much as maybe some guy.
We apologize to our Australian listeners.
I'm sorry. Yes, that was ignorant. But yeah, so that's not one of his.
He really had. I mean, it took him more time with everything, every step of the way yesterday.
And yes.
I don't know. You know, I couldn't quite. Could you peg what it was? I just couldn't quite peg what it was.
You know,
horse wasn't ready yet.
Horse, yeah, you don't know unless you're down there with the horse, but that's not untypical for him. The 2 years that he won, the 2003 and 2005, he was, I believe, the last one on his horse each time. He's really big into getting a lot of stuff on the ground, where, you know, I know some guys who kind of ride, you know, like Nick, you know, kind of ride in that style, think I can get all that stuff done from their back. So if I can do that, I might as well.
Judges, however, were not very impressed yesterday. He was a couple hundred points behind.
Right.
They didn't.
Definitely behind. And I know there's some folks who are feeling like the reason he got dinged was because he was the last to get on his colt. And he didn't actually put a ride. He did lay on it bareback. And I don't think it's that at all. This is not a race. It is a timed competition. And obviously you have to do all the required maneuvers. But usually it's not the first person on their colt who gets the highest points by default. So if I were to guess at why he was behind, I would say, your rope handling skills are going to come into play. They want to see how fluid you are with your equipment. And so he had a little fumble there. They might not have liked his motivation for spending all his break right off the bat. You know, that might have worked against him in the points as well, if I were to guess.
Yeah, and they did that. I mean, that wasn't always that way. They didn't always have the breaks from day one, if I remember correctly. And that was something they added as time went on.
Right. Like Tammy said, this is kind of a living, breathing creature. And so I think each year kind of helps inform them on what they need to work on the next year.
And Richard Winders has actually entered the ring to do his demonstration. His clinic, and he has his daughter with him, I see, Sarah, who was on our show yesterday, if you missed it. She's on a that's a good-looking Palomino.
I know.
She has a nice
wondering.
Horse. Well, to continue here, let's take a listen to how Clinton felt about his round after we caught up with him last night.
All right, we're with Clinton Anderson after round one. Clinton, how'd you feel about your colt today?
I was real happy with the colt. He had good forward movement, and I'm excited about tomorrow.
You always talk about laying groundwork. Well, today you had an opportunity to do that. Do you feel that it'll progress quicker tomorrow? That at the end he really started to get it.
Yeah, he'll progress good tomorrow. I'm not worried about the colt at all. No, he'll be good.
Well, and anyone who's watched Clinton over the last few years, I think every year you've done it, you've probably been one of the last people on. And then in the finals, you've always had just an amazing performance. And so I asked this Nick this. What do you think about your colt? Did he line out how you thought he would be? Is his personality what you were thinking of?
I didn't really have any expectations because I didn't pick the horse. I just took the number. But I'm not disappointed in the horse at all. I think tomorrow he'll be just fine. I really do. He ended on a good note, and he did nothing wrong today. I'm not disappointed. You know, I would have liked to have roped him better, of course, but he did fine. That's not his fault.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
It was good for the audience.
It is.
Thanks. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
And we're back here at Road to the Horse. As a reminder, if you're just joining us, the standings as of day one for the judge competition is Richard's in first, Nick is in second, and Clinton Anderson is in third. Got it. So we have, conveniently enough, we just talked about the standings. We have one of the judges, Barbara Schulte, just walked in. Hi, Barbara.
Hey, good morning.
It's so good to have you stop by. Now, I know we're not allowed to ask opinions or anything, but reason I wanted you to stop by today, we've been getting questions from listeners about how it's what's judged. And I've been using a very general, they're judged on horsemanship. But I know you can break that down a little bit better.
Well, in the first and second rounds, they are, there are, I think, let's see, maybe 11 or 12 categories that we rank, that each contestant from 1 to 15. And it has to do with the horse, like for the difficulty of the horse, and then the horse's understanding, the horse's demeanor at the end of the session. Regarding the clinician, it has to do with how their demeanor, their confidence, the smoothness in the presentation of ideas. And then there are categories about forward motion, about lateral neck movement, about lateral movement of the hindquarters, clinician's response to the horse's fear. So it's very broken down, and we are instructed to grade categories 1 to 15 in each of those things. Like, we don't judge anything else except those categories.
Do you reset every day then?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so...
Yes, and we, of course, don't know when we're judging and turn our scores in. We just do our own scoring system or our own scores, and then at the end of the day, they throw out the high and the low.
Got it.
That's something really interesting I found. I got asked to judge a few events, and when you go over the rule book and it's laid out for you, this is what you're judging on. So you're only going to give points according to what it says in the rule book. But then when I began to do the judging, it's not like, oh, I want this guy to win, so I'm going to give him more points. You really don't know. Someone else tallies it all up. You just go by each category, and, you can even be surprised with how it,
Absolutely. And, my job is to judge the categories and to give my opinion about what I see. And so I could just really like stick to my job because that's, what I'm here to do. So,
and then as you go into day two, you had day one yesterday, as you go into day two, does your thought process change a little bit for day two and then into obviously the final judging on day three?
Well, the categories for day two are exactly the same as the categories for day one. So, I'll just pick up where we left off for observing. And of course, things can turn upside down. Yeah, I did a lot of studying before I came, and you'll see things going along really smoothly, and then all of a sudden things really change. And so I'm just here to observe and be open. And so I think for the first and second days, it's very similar. The third day, of course, it's a whole, we're judging obstacles, we're judging rail work. So,
does the crowd play into it at all?
Not for me.
No, okay.
In fact, when we left yesterday, of course I could hear the crowd cheering from time to time, but I was just asking some of the other judges or some of the other people, I said, I think that the crowd was really involved, but I was so into what I was doing. So it does not affect me.
I think the crowd becomes more of a play too on finals day. They just get totally nuts on finals day. So, yeah. It's hard not to hear them on that day.
Yeah.
Is this your first time judging here?
Yes, yeah. It is. And I'm so delighted and I'm honored and amazed at this whole competition, amazed at the competitors, highest respect for all of it.
Now, have you ever been able to come in the past and just watch?
No.
Oh, mm-hmm. So this is your first time all around.
No,
awesome.
But I've been involved. I mean, I've studied it from afar and watched from afar and admired from afar. So...
Right. It's kind of one of those events, even if you've never been or that's not really your style, different people, different disciplines, they've all heard of it, at least, everyone has an idea of what it is. And it's one of those just completely unique events. I call it, it's like the Super Bowl of horsemanship.
I think so, too. It has very unique elements to it that no other competition does.
We're talking to Barbara Schulte. What's new with you and your life away from here?
Well, I train cutting horses, and I have about 10 horses in training. And then I have some horses I show. When I leave here, I'll go to the NCHA Super Stakes, which is the second event on a Triple Crown, and show on Thursday. I leave here on Monday. And then I have an ever-expanding online education business, and I do sports psychology kinds of training for equestrians in all disciplines. I love doing that.
Even so cross over to English side in that?
Yes.
One? Yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely. Because the connection or the getting within yourself, getting focused, getting calm, and knowing how to do that, having the tools, that's across the board.
And how long have you been showing?
I have been showing since, I'm not going to say the years. I'll say I've been showing since I was probably 8 years old.
Yeah.
So about 10.
So you've learned a little bit about that psychological side.
Yeah. Exactly. I have formal training. I'm a personal performance coach. So when you were asking me about, do I hear the crowd? You know, I really have prepared coming here to enter into like a state,
the zone,
of focus, yeah, and calmness. And so, you know, just doing my job.
Do you have a favorite discipline to judge or ride?
Well, cutting is my discipline, you know, that I train and that, you know.
Why do you like cutting so much?
Well, cutting is, first of all, it has a lot of action to it. And there's also this incredible element of trust. You know, you go in there and you have to, and it's on your feet thinking. You don't know what cow, you know, there's no pattern until you cut a cow and you put your hand down, and then you have to help your horse. So that's, and it's really fun and exhilarating and addictive, terribly addictive.
That's what I hear, yes.
And there's no rehab. There are no rehab centers.
No rehab.
So thank you for stopping by. What's your website?
My website is Barbara, B-A-R-A, like Streisand, Barbara Schulte, S-C-H-U-L-T-E.com.
BarbaraSchulte.com. We appreciate you being here, and
thank
it's
you.
So much fun watching you down there doing your thing.
Thank you. I'm just delighted, and thank you for inviting me.
And by the way, we agree with day one's results, so for what
it's
that's
a good
worth.
Job.
Yeah, it's a good job.
Thank you.
We approve.
Yeah, you know, it's...
It's our job to critique, and we agree.
Yeah, it's challenging. Just if I can just say one last thing.
Yeah.
I know from judging and cutting is that unless you're really the judge and you're looking, you don't, as a spectator, you don't, like, I don't really question judging scores when I'm not involved in that, because you don't see some of the nuances, both positive and not. And anyway.
That never stops us from having opinions. Well, audience for that matter.
Every judge that I've ever talked to is rooting for their competitors, all of them.
Yeah.
I don't know of one judge who goes in there and is just looking to, you know, make someone have a bad day. You know, so they're right.
My wife
there
has
with.
Showed for a lot of years and might argue with you that on that yeah. point.
Well, it feels that way maybe sometimes.
It does feel that way to some competitors.
Everyone I've ever talked to, they're right there with the horses and the competitors. They want everyone to have the best ride they can.
Absolutely. You want people to do well. You know, nobody is there. Well,
it's good for the sport,
like,
too.
Like, I mean, going, come on, you know. Like, yeah. So anyway.
Well, thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. You guys much. Have a great day.
Thanks.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, we are brought to you today by some of our terrific sponsors, and one of those is the Illuminated Hoof Pick. It's the only hoof pick that I've used for the last 5 years. It's the original hoof pick with the built-in LED light. I don't know if you've used them yet, Mary, but I love this thing, and I'll tell you why. It's stainless steel. It's heavy-duty. It has the brush on the end and everything, but I've used it for 5 years. The little end has not bent. The brush is still good, amazingly enough, after 5 years. And the lights, you have to change the battery out, but the light comes in handy if you have a dark aisleway and you need to see into the horse's hoof. It just works. It requires two AAA batteries. They're easy to replace. They're available, and it also has an easy grip handle. My hands are bigger, so I can really use this without too much trouble. Some of the others are too small for me. Yet people with smaller hands have said they don't have a problem with it either. So they're available at any tack shop, select retailers across the United States. You can check out their website. Just look for alittlepetvet.com. And what you're looking for is the Illuminated Hoof Pick. It is the hoof pick of choice at HRN Radio Ranch. And that's the only one I use on Scooter. So it's Scooter approved. Most famous pony in the world approves it. The Illuminated Hoof Pick. Well, we have our next guest. We're going to switch gears a little bit here. There's a lot going on this weekend in addition to training some colts. And some of that's going on is mounted shooting. And they did that last year here. And it's always so much fun for me to watch as a horse husband. I understand it. There's no nuances. You shoot the balloon or you don't. So I kind of get it. And we have Teresa Cox here. She's a mounted shooter with the MSA and the CMSA. And we'll talk about those here in a little bit, too. Hello, Teresa.
Hello. Good morning.
Thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate it. So you were here and won on Thursday, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Won me a nice gift buckle and $1,000.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
a lucrative sport.
Yeah, this pays more than the English side. I didn't know it actually paid money. So why do you love, I mean, it's hard to ask somebody why they love mounted shooting. It's cool.
Yes. Yes. I have a good phrase for mounted shooting. I call it barrel racing on steroids. So we,
that's a very apt description.
Because you really are barrel racing. I mean,
we actually have a barrel racing pattern, which we have to shoot the 10 balloons while we're doing the barrel pattern.
Now, for the two people hiding under a rock that have never seen it before, kind of explain what happens in a competition.
Well, basically what happens, you have two 45 single long Colts holstered to you, and you will have five targets in the first part of the course that you will engage and try to bust. And then you will come around a rundown barrel and shoot five more targets while holstering your first gun and pulling your second gun.
And you're shooting blanks, of course, for everybody that's wondering why people don't die in the audience. That's
yes,
why.
Yes, yeah, sir. They will reach no more than 20 feet. Safety is a big issue with our gun ownership in MSA and CMSA.
And actually, what's coming out the end of the barrel is remnants of the black powder and a lot of air.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And that'll pop a balloon very easily.
Yes.
Now, what distance?
Usually your best shot is right around 10 feet.
Because the pattern spreads out?
Yes, sir.
Ah, I got it. And you're going for speed. So this is a speed round.
It's a speed round. You are on a timer. So literally there is no judging. It's you and the clock and your accuracy of your shooting.
And Tammy Sorensen, I'll mention earlier for those that don't know, who was with us earlier in the show about a half an hour ago, is one of the best in the world.
Tammy Sorensen is a world and national champion cowgirl.
Many times over. I've seen all her belt buckles.
Yes.
Yeah. But it is fun to watch you guys because there is strategy involved. One is the pattern that you take, you know, and I guess that kind of depends on where you know your strengths and weaknesses are, shooting from the left and the right and all of that, too, as well, right?
Yes, and it depends on your horse, too. I tell everyone, you need to look at your course. It's course management because each little one stride is about one-tenth of a second, and you're on the clock, and a tenth or two can cost you the match.
And world champion times in this, you'll do a pattern of 10 balloons in what times at the fastest?
The fastest time we've ever recorded is an 8.9, and that was in Fort Worth, Texas. And that is shooting 10 balloons and rounding a barrel in 8.9 seconds.
Wow, that's flying. That's smooth.
Yes.
And that is one of the things you see very quickly when you're watching this as a neophyte from the stands. You see very quickly that smoothness is the key, not necessarily speed, but just that it looks effortless.
Yes. I tell everyone, we do a lot of coaching, and I tell everyone, smooth is fast.
Yeah. And you can tell that. You can tell the ones that were trying to go really fast, but we're having trouble with the holster and the guns and, you know, just...
That would be me if I ever tried.
Your horse, I will tell everyone that your horse is key to this. If you've got a good horse that will take to the gunfire and smooth and will navigate.
What's that like the first couple times you're training the horse to the gunfire?
You never know.
Yeah.
I've been bucked off more than once. You can shoot off any of them once.
Now,
that's the famous thing. You can shoot off of any horse once.
One time. It's the second and third time that will get you every time.
Now, Tammy said she starts with like a cap gun, you know, starts small and then works. Because you guys are shooting 45s and then she goes to a 22, which obviously is a much smaller bullet and much less gunpowder.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And you have to have respect for your horse just like you do for people. You know, you need to be shooting off your hip. I tell everyone to shoot off their hip.
Which means
you want to be, if you had a clock, you would be shooting at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
And then on a cross shot, you would be shooting at 9 o'clock. That keeps the fire away from your horse's face.
Yeah. That's always important. And their ears.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They never like getting shot in the ears for some reason.
No.
Well, and you guys do use the earplugs to help protect your horse
ma'am.
From the sound as
yes,
well.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
We desensitize them to the earplugs. So.
What's the hardest part in the training?
The hardest part in the training is a lot of folks are really good riders until you put a 45 in their hand, because we are actually, you have to do everything with one hand or your legs because your other hand is full with a 45 long Colt.
Right.
So it's the coordination. I think coordinating and getting your horse to where it's all on one rein, and they are very soft. And it takes a while to get a horse that soft to do this sport.
Well, and there's events where they do this with a rifle. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. We do rifle and shotgun.
So the rifle and shotgun, obviously, you've got to use two hands to operate it, I suppose.
You do. And 90% of the time, we drop our reins and we use our legs to keep our horse running straight.
I use a shotgun a lot. I love shooting shotgun. How do you miss the balloons with a shotgun?
You can, if you are not aiming dead center, I tell everyone, if you're not looking at those targets, they will not burst. And it's very easy to shoot in front or behind the balloons. And it's very easy to miss, even with a shotgun.
You know, it's like anything else. It's like jumping. You're looking at your next jump. And, you know, you're always focusing on what's coming next. Driving's the same way, too, yes, as you're going through obstacles. And I imagine it would be easy when you're first starting out to be watching the horse's head instead of the balloons.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And we have a lot of folks that end up jumping cones doing that.
Again, that would be me.
I was impressed with the one guy the other day knocked down the cone and the balloon fell on the ground and he shot it on the ground even as he was going. That's a guy that's been there and done that.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Sometimes you see a little trick riding in this sport. So
where can people learn more about the sport if they want to get involved and give it a try? Like if my certain co-host here decided one day she wanted to shoot her foot off, how does she do that?
Okay. You can go online at www.mountedshooters.com.
Mountedshooters.com.
Yes. Okay. Or newmsa.com.
And I happen to know a little bit about the shooting people that are involved in the sport, and they're very receptive. They want new people in the sport.
Yes, yeah. Yes, they are, and they are very helpful. We have people that will loan you guns, will loan you horses, and I tell everyone, when you try it once, you either hate it or you love it, and me, I love it. I'm an adrenaline junkie, and it's...
Mary wants to take up mounted archery. She
yes.
wants to really do archery.
Yes.
I don't think she trusts herself with a gun.
So. That, and I'm a very big Lord of the Rings fan, so...
Yeah, there you go.
Just help me fulfill my fantasies of having adventures.
I am going to be nowhere near the first time she has a bow and arrow in her hand on a horse. Thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Teresa Cox, a mounted shooter here this weekend. We're going to take a break for a song by Templeton Thompson. And when we have more coverage and more guests coming up from Road to the Horse, day two of our coverage, we'll be right back.
She could have passed for a cowboy. The way she carried herself and that 50 pounds of leather, put it up on that pony, light as a feather, like she'd done it all her life. And she asked if I was ready, handing me the reins, and we started out walking. Up until that morning, she hadn't been much on talking. Guess it finally come the time, and she said, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you're made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And sit deep in the saddle, remember to hold on tight, and never ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. I remember what she told me, it's as clear as a bell as it was on that morning. It was kind of like a blessing and a warning. Pass it on to my daughter. She loads up her car, heads out of the driveway. She'll have had enough of doing things my way. It'll be her turn to fly, and I'll say, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you're made of till you ride out on your sit deep in the saddle. Remember to hold on tight and never ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. You ever ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. Remember, remember, baby, she could have passed for a cowboy.
They say a good rider can hear his horse speak to him. But a great rider can hear his horse whisper. The years he's given me. Nobility without conceit. Friendship without envy. Beauty without vanity. A loyalty without compromise. I borrowed freedom when we rode. The history of mankind and civilization rode with us. His body took the weight of mine and I was carried through. I can still hear that whisper.
For more information on the complete line of horsewear turnouts, including Rambo, Rhino, and Amigo, visit horsewear.com or ask your local retailer or online supplier for more information on horsewear.com. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on an unusual Saturday morning episode here. I'm with Mary Kitzmiller, and we are at Road to the Horse at the All-Tech Arena at the Kentucky Horse Park on day two of competition. We are brought to you today by our friends at horselovers.com. Head over there every single day to check out their daily deal. They have great stuff up to 75% off every single day. Use the coupon code HRN, and you'll get an additional 10% off your next order. HRN for Horse Radio Network for an additional 10% off. Well, we have our next guest with us today. We have Diego, whose last name I'm not even going to pronounce, who is with us, and he is a professional clinician for Clinton Anderson. Hey, Diego.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
How y'all doing?
Thank you for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We kind of reviewed everything from yesterday earlier in the show, and we talked about some of the strategy that Clinton did, whether it was good, whether it worked or not, or however, you know, that's up to the audience to decide and the judges. But how did you feel things went on day one?
You know, I felt like things went pretty well. You know, we're definitely real happy with how his colt moved out. You know, that was one big thing. We were a little bit concerned, you know, if the colts are going to be
moving
a
was
on
not
the
a problem for that colt.
Correct. Yeah, he definitely moved out good. You know, he was a little bit tough as far as, you know, trying to get the halter on and everything like that. But I think today we're going to see a big change in the colt. So
is Clinton going to be taking some lasso lessons when he gets
well,
home?
You know, probably wouldn't be a bad idea. But
now, and there's roping out in your roping at home and then trying it in front of
8,000 people.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit of pressure
and
there.
And then when you miss the first two, then it just goes south from there. Nothing's going to go right at that point. He was really smart, though. He got really close and the horse basically ran through it, which was what I would have done about that point.
Yeah, that's exactly what
How
I
are you
done.
With the rope, by the way?
I actually grew up doing a lot of team roping and a lot of Mexican rodeo stuff, so I was always with the rope. You know, he always talks about Australians had the stock whip growing up. You know, we always had a rope in our hand growing up. So, you know, I used to do a lot of team roping before I went up to Clinton's place. So, you know,
I might recommend giving the boss some lessons when you get home. But no, it was very funny. The audience loved it.
Yeah. I think everybody did get a
this
good
is a show
of it.
After all.
And
right?
And he went right along with it. And yeah, you mentioned about the colt moving out. Just looking from what I see, the two colts that Richard and Nick had were very gentle and easy to get up to. And of course they put a few rides on it, but you can, even in like with Nick's colt, you can start to see, okay, there's, and Nick knows this too, there's that bit of stickiness there, and that can be make it or break it for Road to the Horse, because at the end you do not only have to get them using the whole arena moving out, but they've got to go to over obstacles. So I agree.
And the final day is time. They have to do it in a certain amount of time. Exactly.
Well, and seeing Clinton's colt, he might have been a little harder to get up to, but that moving out, that's going to, I think that'll pay off big time.
Yeah,
in the coming
I agree. You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, the colts that are a little bit sticky. You know, they need to get out of the round pen. They need more room to move out, you know. So the fact that our colt's already moving out really good in the round pen, it's, you know, I'm pretty confident we'll do all right.
Now, is the plan to take his time this morning again or this afternoon, or will he, you know, try and move things along a little faster?
You know, I think he'll probably just try to take his time again and just kind of, again, go with what the colt's going to offer. You know, we're not going to try to force anything for sure. We're just going to try to go with the flow a little bit, you know. I think the biggest thing in this, especially in a competition like this, you just have to go with what you got, you know. So rather than trying to force it and getting into a big fight, just, you know, try to go with what you got and make the best of it.
Yeah. We've never had that problem with any we've worked with, have we, Mary?
No. Well, and, you know, that is a really good point because, you know, colt starting programs, they're so varied and very detailed, and we all have ideas of what we want the colt to be doing. But when you're doing something on the clock like this, you're going to have to edit a lot and decide, you know, man, I normally really want to work on this, but it, you know, it's just not going to work for this event this weekend. So it does take a lot of thinking on your feet. It's very very interesting to watch.
And he was the first one that we've seen that has taken his break at the beginning of the round, you know, and I was wondering if he regretted that later, if he had wished he had been in.
We talked about it a little bit, and, you know, we think it was a good decision as far as, you know, trying to spend that time resting, you know, getting that colt resting with you, you know, more than anything. So especially with that colt that was already a little bit hard to get up to, you know, he really needed to get that rest with Clinton, you know. So I think it was a little bit of a, you know, a shock to everybody. But, you know, we'll just have to see what happens.
What was interesting with that colt, too, Mary and I were down watching him in the pens before the competition. And that colt seemed to be the one that was staying back and really kind of almost lazy, not the one to get in any trouble or staying out of everybody's way. And Mary picked that one. So, by the way, she doesn't want Clinton to screw it up. So don't mess it up, right? Because she has that one picked. We have a pool. We have money on this. Okay. So don't screw it up, all right?
No pressure.
But, you know, he was, and then it was almost the exact opposite when he got in the pen.
Yeah, you know, and that's the hard part. Like, like Clinton said, you know, years past where he's gone out and actually tried to pick the horse, you know, it's usually kind of backfired on him. So you just never really know until you get in the pen and start working with him.
And that's true when you buy a horse, too, right? When you go see it the first time, it's never what they end up being when they get home, you know?
Well, and Sarah brought up a really good point when we had her on, is the colt that you pick for this competition might not be the colt you want to come home with. And when I started a lot of colts, the reining colts and things like that, usually the colts that I loved the first couple weeks of training, they were my favorite. They were so easy, wonderful to get along with. 3 months down the road, I had more challenges with them, and the ones that were trying to kill me the first few weeks were my best colts in the string. So it's, you know, it's really interesting to pick something specifically for this competition, because you want to pick out something that's going to make you look good and you're going to get along with in those 3 or 4 hours of training, as opposed to what's going to be a lifelong partner.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you said, you never really know what to expect until you really start working with the horse. And even in, you know, 6 weeks of training, you could still, you know, be real happy. And then, you know, another 6 weeks, all of a sudden you're not happy with the horse, you know, but that's just part of horse training, the ups and downs you have to go through, you know.
Now, you're a professional clinician with Down Under Horsemanship.
Yes,
so does that mean you travel to all the clinics and everything, or are you at one of the guys at home?
Yeah, I just graduated, so now I'm out on my own, and I'm still traveling and doing clinics, but now just traveling by myself.
Oh, really?
When I have opportunity, I
How's
do
How's that different?
It's, you know, it's it is different for sure. It's kind of a big relief. You don't feel the pressure of, you know, boss man watching you all the time, but it feels really good because, you know, we worked so hard to get to that point, and now that you're there, it's like, you know, the hard work has paid off.
Okay, and for this is radio, so I'm going to speak I'm going to give everybody a description. Let's just say that Diego could put his picture on the poster and girls are going to sign up for the clinic. That's all you have to do.
That is always a help. Just ask Dan James.
Yeah, I mean, that's
always good for marketing and promotion.
Doesn't hurt. That's for darn sure. So what are the things, what do you like? Are you compete or?
I'm really interested in the whole, you know, cow, horse and reining. So that's kind of my, my goals as far as where I'd like to go eventually is to be more competitive in the show pen and, you know, do more reining and working cow. You know, at this stage, I'm still trying to build myself up and build my name up. So, you know, a lot of the clinics and just, you know, getting out there and meeting people is what I'm working on now. And then absolutely, I do want to get more competitive in the show pen and eventually start doing more roping, just kind of all around performance. And I don't want to just get stuck with one thing. I want to be able to expand as much as I can.
You know, when people are coming up and teenagers especially are coming up or you're in your 20s and you want to work in the horse world, what a lot of people don't think about is, yes, you get to play with horses and do the fun stuff, but Clinton has proved this better than anybody. This is a business.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and yeah, you've got to feed yourself. You've got to eat. You've got to feed your horses. And that's something that you've probably learned and taken away from too. And that's three quarters of this business, isn't
it?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's, like you said, it's a lifestyle. You have to be willing to live that lifestyle. I mean, it's not a, you know, Monday through Friday, you know, 8 to 5 kind of a deal.
Because when you're not working with horses, you're worried about where you're booking your next clinic, how you're feeding.
How am I going to eat?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. When you know, the 9 to 5ers, they talk about, oh, thank goodness it's Friday. I'm like, so? It's like every other day of my week.
Exactly.
Friday means nothing.
Every
to
day
me.
Is the same.
Yes.
You might get a Monday or Tuesday after a clinic off, but right. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, that's all you're getting.
Only to feed and still clean stalls.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know. Exactly. Well, Diego, thank you so much for stopping by. Do you have your own website?
Yes, I do. You can go and visit on Clinton Anderson's clinician page, and we have all of the clinicians there, and mine's Diego@downunderhorsemanship.com.
And say your last name, which we have avoided this whole time.
Gaona.
Gaona.
Spelled G-A-O-N-A. Gaona.
So what, actually what, very easy.
Yeah, what derivation is that? I've never heard that
it's
name.
It's from Mexico. I have a lot of family from Mexico, so, you know, a lot of family from Spain, too.
Do you
so
speak Spanish?
I do.
All
I
right.
do.
Tell everybody welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Buenas tardes a todos. Que bueno que todos están aquí a este canción.
Now, he could have just said, I'm having a crappy time and screw you all. But I don't know. I don't know what he just said, actually. But thank you for that.
Oh, no problem.
All right. Take care, Diego.
Thank you
Appreciate
for having
it.
Me, guys. Thank
Bye.
You.
Thank you.
So we are, as I said, we are here at Road to the Horse. And today on the agenda, we have coming up, let's see here. We have Richard Winters is down there with Sarah, his daughter, right now doing a clinic. And then we have Nick Dowers is going to do a clinic this afternoon. We have another opening ceremonies. They do those every day here. And we'll see some demonstrations and probably we'll see Mr. Gascon out there this afternoon doing his demonstration.
I don't think his are his announced or was he just coming out kinda,
I don't know.
You know, as a surprise.
I don't know.
I've been waiting
we'll
for
out.
It all weekend.
And then, of course, the round two challenge will start at 3 o'clock today. If you actually want to see that coverage, you can buy a pay-per-view. Just go to roadtothehorse.com. You can actually watch there. And we'll be coming to you tomorrow for the first time. We'll be coming to you tomorrow live here at 11 a.m. And we'll be all 4 hours of the finals coverage, the obstacle course, and the freestyle. We'll be doing a play-by-play of that. So you could actually listen to us and watch the live feed if you wanted to. We put this show out in the recorded form. If you missed the beginning of it and want to hear the whole thing, just go to your app store, iOS or Android, and search for Horse Radio Network and listen to it. We have our very own app, and this is the Horses in the Morning show if you're joining us for the first time. Well, Linda, why don't you take a walk over here? We have one of our auditors with us. Auditors are our rabid listeners who pay to be part of the special auditor group. And this is your second time at Road to the Horse. What did you think yesterday?
Oh, I thought it was fabulous. I think the clinicians are somebody to learn from, and I learned a lot yesterday. It's all in the, you know, in the context of natural horsemanship, and the nuances are different. And I just heard Richard Winters down here on the floor say, it's not a science, it's an art. And that really came forward yesterday in the competition.
You know, I would half agree with that. And the only reason I say that is because I've gotten As some of you may know who listen to my show, I've gotten a little bit enamored with clicker training, which is very science-based. And a good friend of mine has a company, and she trains dogs and horses using positive reinforcement. And she calls it science, art, and magic. And I thought, man, what a cool tagline. I'm really sad I can't steal that. Because, yes, I think it is an art form, but there's also some science going on there. I mean, you do have to understand what makes these horses tick and herd dynamics and things like that. So I think it's a little bit of a mixture.
Yeah, true. I guess I was noticing the art yesterday.
Did you have a favorite horse?
I liked Nick's horse
a
lot.
Everybody in the audience did.
But he has
a
ton of personality. Yeah. I don't know that that makes him a winning horse necessarily. He
not always.
Had a lot of personality.
Yeah, sometimes
makes him a fun horse to watch, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that, like we were saying earlier, that the ball was just in there in the pen. I don't think Nick really did much with the ball before he gave that little horse a break. And the horse just walked right up to it and started kicking it around and rubbed all over it. So if I was down there watching that, I would say, oh, we are golden for the obstacle course.
This is
not going to be a problem.
The ball was his best friend for a few minutes, that horse. But that horse had a friend in the round pen when Nick was not there.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive.
And that's what it sort of looked like. It's like, okay, this ball's all I got.
Right.
What was that movie on the island with
Wilson?
Wilson.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, Wilson. It's you and me.
That was his Wilson right there. And if he had keep beating on that ball, his Wilson would have been popped. I was waiting for that to happen next, because those things don't last forever.
Well, and I think I was trying to decide whether Nick was asking the horse yesterday to push the ball for a minute. There usually seems to be a pushing question in the obstacle.
Yeah, you're
course.
Pushing something. It's usually different every year.
Did you think he was doing that, Mary?
Yeah, I think so. You know, from what I gathered watching all of them in the pen, the guys who did bring out the obstacles, no one really set it up for the horse like, okay, here is X obstacle and you're going to go over it now.
It was an opportunity.
I think, like with Nick, he threw a bunch in there, but he didn't address any of them directly. He just worked his horse and, oh, there happens to be obstacles here.
Yeah, let's see what we can do with it.
Right, and just kind of let the horse make its own decisions about it. And then Richard, he did a little bit of work with the tarp, and he did something I thought was fantastic. He was so quiet about it. I didn't even notice what was going on until I looked over, and he's got his horse just gently stepped on the tarp, and he chose to unsaddle his horse on the tarp, which I thought, wow, that's a really clever.
Oh, that was Richard.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That
from my
was
vantage.
Really clever. Uh-huh. So it'd be really interesting to see today if they have more structure with their obstacle work.
Right.
Well, now, did we determine whether they have an hour tomorrow morning or not, or whether this is, obstacle set up at 11 o'clock. I'm not showing any time tomorrow. So one more session. Yeah, tomorrow morning doors open at 9. They have Cowboy Church at 9:15. 10 o'clock's opening ceremonies, and an 11 o'clock obstacle setup. So it looks like we're not doing
straight
another
to
session
obstacle.
Tomorrow. So today will be the last session.
Ooh.
Maybe they'll give them a little bit of time before obstacle.
Well, with the obstacle round, they put so many minutes on the clock, and they put a smaller round pin out there. And within that time, I think it's usually about 45 minutes, they have. And they can choose to divide that time up however they want. They go in there, they need to catch their horse, do whatever work they need to in the round pen, saddle it, get on it, and then they can go out and into the arena. They can't cross over into the obstacle course. They have to stay on the outside. They can do a little warm up, and then when they're ready to start doing their compulsory, they'll call them out to the judges. And like Jim Anderson one year did something really interesting. He had a colt where forward was not a problem. And he told the audience, he said, my colt just needs to go. And he let that colt just kind of get it all out around the arena for a few minutes. And then he said, okay, I'm gonna ask him to stop. And when he did, that horse just hit that stop really well. And then so they're able to do a training session before they go and start doing their judged compulsory and obstacle stuff.
Yeah, I think that was the artful approach to his horse. I was here that year.
Yeah.
He was riding the horse he was on. He was training the horse he had in front of him. And it was impressive to see that.
He made some great decisions with that colt. And I got to tell you, when I saw that colt in the Remuda running, I thought, oh, my gosh, that's going to be a tough one, because he was out ahead of everybody. He even kind of attacked one of the Sixes cowboys a little bit, went right up to him, and then when Jim chose that one, I was like, really? And he made another interesting decision. Is I think he was the only one who did not go out of the round pen during the training sessions. And we asked him, you know, why didn't you? And he said, well, my colt was going to move forward fine. That was not an issue. And I didn't want to get him out in the open and have him kind of run to the gate and have that be a problem. So I stayed in there and just got more control. So that's just a really good example of someone taking a colt that it could have potentially been really challenging and bringing it through with flying colors. And, of course, he did win that year. So some good decision making there.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we're speaking with Linda, who's one of our auditors. Thank you so much and she's also, we have to thank her for helping out today. She's been our guest wrangler again today. We got together with a few auditors last night at dinner. That was fun. Thank you for stopping by for that, too. We appreciate
it.
All right. Well, we are going to hear from our good friends at Cashel Products, and we'll be back with more show coming up. The Cashel Company is returning this year to support our coverage of Road to the Horse. Cashel Company has grown to include some of the best products on the market for trail riders, one of the fastest growing sectors of horsemanship. They have many different items for use on the trail, such as highline kits, saddlebags, trail saddles, collapsible water pails, tush cushions, easy knees, cozy toes, quiet ride fly protection, leg protection, and on and on. They are ingenious products designed to solve problems commonly found by all horsemen, especially trail riders. They have many "why didn't I think of that" handy solutions for your trail problems. Your trail connection is Cashel Products. You can find Cashel Products at your local tack shop or online at cashelcompany.com. That's cashelcompany.com. We appreciate Cashel. This is the third year that they have joined us for our Road to the Horse coverage. And, of course, Mary and I are having a little fun. We went Mexican the first night. I took her to Jalapenos, which is a required stop if you're a local. If you're eating Mexican here, you have to go to Jalapenos. And one thing I learned about Mary is she likes her cheese. You like cheese on everything.
I do. You know, I say that I love Mexican food, but then when I really got to thinking about it, I really just love any combination of cheese and tortillas. And so I'm not sure if that actually...
She ordered a bowl of queso and yes. Then ordered cheese quesadillas and poured the queso on top of the cheese quesadillas. So yes. Pretty much it's just cheese.
It was wonderful.
And what'd you have for dinner last night, Mary?
Macaroni and cheese.
I had a hot brown, I'll have you know. So I came to Lexington. I had to get a hot brown. It's the only place you can get it. For those that don't know what hot brown is, look it up, Google it, and look at the pictures. It's pretty much 10,000 calories on a plate is what a hot brown is.
So it's right up my alley.
Yeah, exactly. This one was not quite as good as Ramsey's hot browns, which have the best hot browns in town. But I didn't figure with basketball in town, I'd even get close to Ramsey's. So... We are coming to you from Road to the Horse. We have our next guest here, Allison from Haggard Vet. Hey, Allison, how are you?
I'm very good. How are y'all doing?
Good. Come in a little closer to the mic. So we recently, a couple weeks ago, started a relationship with Haggard that we're very excited about. They come on our Horses in the Morning show every Wednesday morning with a health update. Our listeners love the health updates. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
And you're our contact there, so it's been a lot of fun getting that arranged. Now, Haggard, it has the convenience of being located directly across the street from
exactly.
The horse park.
Yes.
So I imagine for a lot of the competitions here, which there are thousands of horses here from now until October, there'll be thousands of horses here all the time. That's business for you right across the street. So I imagine you spend a lot of time here.
We do. We have some great sport horse veterinarians on staff. So we're the show vet for a lot of the shows here at the horse park. And it's so great not only to, you know, get to meet the competitors and work with them, but should they need more than just, you know, fluids or something like that, if they need something, we have the clinic right across the street that's got everything anyone could ever need for a horse. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun in the spring and summer and fall.
Are the vets kind of assigned to the horse park? Are there certain vets that are...
We have vets who are specifically, well, they're designated sport horse veterinarians, and they specialize in things, you know, that sport horse veterinarians would need to specialize in. And so those are the ones we draw from for the show vets. There's some, you know, really big shows. Like we host the Haggard Mid-South 3-day in late summer. And that's huge.
Hundreds and hundreds of horses.
And so we pull every vet that we can onto that.
And you have a few to pull from, too.
We do. We have, depending on the time of the year, we have between 50 and 60 veterinarians. So we have a good pool of veterinarians.
I was shocked, Mary. They have 120, I call them beds. You know, if you're in a hospital, they'd be beds. But they have 120 stalls.
We do.
Yeah.
And this time of year, it's foaling season and breeding season. And so...
Can we come over and see the babies?
You absolutely can.
Oh, Mary, we got to go see the babies.
My weekend just got made.
What time are we done here?
Yeah.
We call it medicine, but it's our intermediate care, intensive care, and our neonatal intensive care. And right now, you know, this time of year, this is always the case. The neonatal intensive care is almost or always full.
Oh, that'd be so sad to see, though.
I know. They're treated very well. They have Tempur-Pedic mattresses.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
They have, you know, round-the-clock individual care. It's, if you have to be a sick foal, Haggard is a good place to be a sick foal. But we do help, you know, we help them get better and go home.
Are these, are they mostly thoroughbreds or you have different breeds?
This time of year, it's mostly thoroughbreds, mm-hmm. but we have everything. I mean, we have standard breds.
I was going to say standardbreds are big in this area.
We have saddlebreds.
Oh. Saddlebreds bigger in this area.
You know, we have just warm bloods, lots of warm bloods. It's a great mix.
Let's talk about Lexington a little bit. You know, years ago, the only real horses that were around here that lived here were the thoroughbreds. And you also had the saddlebreds that were mm-hmm. in this area, gated horses that were in this area. And that's been changing a lot. A lot of the bigger farms have been now sold into smaller, pretty good-sized lots, but, you know, still good-sized farms, but not thousands of acres. And the sport horse people are starting to migrate here, which we hadn't seen. That's been happening in the last 10 years.
Yeah, the World Equestrian Games really kind of started that.
And they hoped it would.
And we hoped it would. So it turned out exactly like we planned. But yeah, it's been really interesting to see who's moved here. You know, there's some big competitors who have moved here. And we have, you know, like Haggard sponsors a series of Grand Prix in the spring and summer. And we have our leading rider challenge of, I think, $35,000 to $50,000 for, you know, the series. So we have some really good riders who come to these shows, and they stay based in Kentucky, you know, during the summer. So it's turned into, you know, kind of a sport horse hub. It's really great.
And it's an easy shot now to North Carolina, mm-hmm. to Asheville,
yeah.
where, you know, it's a couple hours to Asheville, where there's a lot of showing going on now.
Roberts Arena in Ohio.
Yep.
It's kind of a really almost central part of this area. It's just kind of you've got access to everywhere.
Exactly.
I've even seen they're doing more reining events out here.
There's a lot of reining stuff going on here.
Well, and especially bleeding down from Ohio, where it's just huge. Yeah,
Yes. And you know, that's also quarter horse country up there.
Home to Quarter Horse Congress.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. Yep.
Yep. One of the things that there's not a lot of here, and it's the reason we lived here for 4 years and then we moved to Florida, was trail riding. Everybody was always surprised when we say that, but it's all the big thoroughbred farms and you can't ride on them. So that was always difficult. The other negative to this area for trail riders was that you can't also ride along the roads because the roads are very narrow. They barely fit a car
shoulders.
And a half.
Yeah.
There's no shoulders at all. So for trail riders, it wasn't great. But for the sport horse people, it's perfect. One, hay is much cheaper than in a lot of other places like where we live.
And nicer. Oh, my gosh.
Matter of fact, we just got a load of Kentucky hay. The grass is great in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't beat it. And then the weather is not too hot. You know, well, comparatively speaking,
compared
she lives in Texas.
You know,
so.
The equator.
yeah. Yeah. Mary lives in Texas. She'll tell you about hot.
Yeah.
And humid.
Yes.
Yeah. And we live in Florida, so we know hot and humid too. But it just, your weather doesn't, it's a little milder in the winter. You'll have an ice storm or two, but for the most part, it's not too bad. So I see why people are moving here.
Yeah, this past winter was pretty mild, pretty nice. For horse health, it can kind of be a double-edged sword.
Because it doesn't kill any of the bacteria.
Right, and worms. We've had a lot of cases of tapeworms, colic from tapeworms, because it never stayed cold enough to really... curb that population.
Yeah, and I bet you'd worry more about like salmonella with the foals and everything, mm-hmm. and especially you know, if you're spreading manure out in your pastures, and then you don't, it never, you never get the cold and the frost to kill all that stuff up, and then you've got to worry about bacterial and fungal, and yeah, so it's a little bit
I mean, I hate to disparage a mild winter. I do love them. I hope it's a mild summer too, but yeah, it's, Kentucky's a fun state. Because of the weather.
You know, it's so funny too, because we live in Florida, and Florida is pretty, I mean, it's all imports. Nobody has grown up in Florida, right? We all move there. And so it's really weird that I drove 10 hours north to get a Southern accent. And I'm back here where all the Southern accents are.
I was surprised at how many like New York and Jersey accents I encountered in Florida.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all New Yorkers and yeah. Northeast. There's no Southern accents in Florida.
Well, you know, it's funny because almost I've asked a lot of people who are here where they're from. I love hearing where they're from. And a lot of them are from Florida. So you're among your homies here.
Yeah, it's cold up here. Yeah. I had to get a jacket out.
I know. That's horrible.
It was
sorry.
In the 60s. So I had to break out the parka.
We're speaking to Allison from Haggard Veterinary. Now, did you get to watch yesterday at all, the
just
training?
Just a little bit. They weren't working with the horses yesterday when I was here. I saw the drill team from Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. They did great.
They were incredible. Incredible. I mean, there were a few.
We had
times
Anna
I had
on the
to,
show yesterday morning, and she was so nervous. But they came out and they were hooping and hollering and so excited.
Oh, I had to look away a few times because I thought something terrible was about to happen. But they were good.
Yeah, it was very good to watch them go.
Impressed.
And I was excited. I was very happy for them because they were kind of nervous. We talked to them beforehand.
Boy, they did not act nervous at all.
No, and this was the largest group they've ever performed in front of. And they'll
be
back today again. Now,
I
Nick
did.
Dowers has just entered the ring to
and
do
I think
his.
He's riding his stud that, if I'm not mistaken, that might be the stud he won the Snafflebit Futurity on. I'm not sure. He's doing a really cool freestyle reining right now to Radioactive, which is a cool song.
It's one of the most popular reining songs, I think, Radioactive. It works.
Yes, I do love that song. Very cool. He's doing some large, fast, small, slow circles.
And Nick is one of those guys that just makes it look effortless.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's not even thinking about it, you know?
Well, you know, like I said, what he did in the show world is unheard of. We call him the rookie to the road to the horse, but he's really anything but. He just really started showing, I think, like 2009. And then 4 years later, he wins his event's biggest, his discipline's biggest event. And, you know, a lot of people have tried for years to break into that level and haven't done it. So
here's his first sliding stop.
Ooh, very cool.
And very well done. And the audience always loves a sliding stop.
Yes. Yes.
I think I saw a trailer go through here that looked like a cattle trailer. So I think in his demonstration here very shortly, we're going to see some cattle come out.
Ooh, very cool.
Yeah. Which, of course, he couldn't do a demonstration without cattle because that's what he's known for. Well, thank you so much, Allison. We appreciate you stopping by. What's the website for Haggard?
Haggard is www.haggard, that's HAGYARD.com. And if anybody wants to come look at the place, we give tours. You can go to, I think, horsecountry.com and sign up to take a tour. It's a really fascinating place, and thank you all very much for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you guys becoming part of the show too. We're looking forward to the next year working with you to cover all the different health topics, and you have a different veterinarian for every week, so I mean, we shouldn't run out.
No, I hope not. I hope not. That would be bad. All right,
thanks,
thank you
Allison.
All very much.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
That's Haggard Veterinary. And Nick is out there doing his, it looks like he's finishing up his reining pattern. He's going to start talking here. So this is what's going to happen. We're going to wrap up the coverage for today. But tomorrow, for the first time, we're going to be doing 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours live here, starting at 11 a.m. So the schedule tomorrow is at 11 a.m. We'll be going live. We're going to have lots of guests, hosts joining us during the day, including Dan James is supposed to stop by for an hour and help us commentate this. The obstacle setup starts at 11 o'clock. The reason that is so important here at Road to the Horse is nobody knows what's on the obstacle course. You are sworn to secrecy if you are on the obstacle committee. Tootie will kill you if you give any of that away. So nobody knows what's going to be there tomorrow.
Plus, they're going to have, they usually have two mystery obstacles. So even the competitors, you know, they do the course and the competitors have no idea what it's going to be until they get there tomorrow. And
there's been some strange things in the past,
yes.
Outhouses, which we have to remind Mary of all the time.
Yeah. No.
there's been some very strange things. So it's always exciting. The audience actually really gets into seeing the obstacle setup. And we're going to be doing that play-by-play of obstacle setup. Anybody that's been here before knows how important that is. And then it'll be going right into competition. Each competitor will take 45 minutes. Somewhere around there, I think, to do the whole thing.
I think it's a little under an hour.
Yeah, a little under an hour. So we'll have a winner here by about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and we'll be on the air with you the entire time here at Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. If you miss the recorded or the live version of any of our shows any day of the week, we're here Monday through Friday, usually from 9 a.m. to 10:30. And Mary is here with us once a month doing a training episode. You can find us at horsesinthemorning.com. All 1,300 past episodes, all 6 years worth, are on there. If you're finding us for the first time, you can go get caught up. Plus, our app, iOS or Android, just search the App Store for Horse Radio Network. That's the simplest way. You can listen while you ride. We estimate that about 40% of our people listen while cleaning stalls. Because what are you doing all day that or every day that is more boring than that? So you can make your stall cleaning more exciting by listening to us. We're the only podcast in the world that can say that, I think.
Yeah, probably. That's a safe bet.
Yes. Mary can be found at?
You can find me at marykitzmiller.com or follow along at Mary Kitzmiller Horsemanship on Facebook. And in addition to doing the live coverage every morning, I'm also posting pictures and doing some updates on Road to the Horse. Of course, those updates will be live tomorrow during the finals round. So you can follow along at Horses in the Morning or on my Facebook page, Mary Kitzmiller Horsemanship.
And if you are looking for some cowboy art, Mary and her mom are tremendous artists and they have a bunch of stuff for sale. Right?
Yes. I'm updating my website every day. So I've got a few things up there now, a few of the purses we make. And once I get back.
She has a purse right now I think Jennifer would love.
It's really cool.
Did somebody send me
out of an old Pendleton blanket and it's got leather that I tooled myself. I'm very proud of it. We've got some turquoise tassels. It's super Western and awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Some of the stuff you guys do is really, really neat. Well, that's it for today. We'll see you again tomorrow morning. It'll be at 11 a.m. here live on Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Take care, everybody.